You are listening to
Friends Next Door.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Friends Next Door. It's Kwan.
It's Dan.
It's Mia.
Today's a rainy day in New York. Keep dry, yeah. Everybody. I feel like we were going through like a, you know, sunshine spell of like it was finally getting warm again.
Yeah.
And then it got a little bit cold and then it was finally getting warm again. And today's like, I think the cold, for some people, it's in the 60s Fahrenheit. Yeah. And for some people, that's really warm. And for some people, that's really cold.
I mean, you're wearing a sweater, which is surprising.
For the first time in a while.
Yeah.
It was shorts weather for like the past couple days.
And
sweater.
And it's like wet.
It's
wet.
It's the sun is coming back. The sun is coming back.
We're going to wheel it out.
But the segues, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about self-doubt. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like having, I feel like whenever you know what you're going to do next, you're confident, it's like sunshine days.
Yes.
And you were talking about how like, is there ever a time, I feel like, you know, a rainy day happens where you're like, you come across a situation where I don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the right thing is to do. And then we had, the group discussion became, how about like, all day, all the time, all the time. I don't know what I'm doing.
It got really gloomy, really fast.
How about like all the time and every moment I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know what the right thing to do is.
Yeah.
And I actually think a lot of people can resonate with that.
Sure. Are you sure?
I think so. I hear this frequently when I just talk with friends and in general.
Yeah.
And I think there's maybe an illusion that people know what they're doing all the time. Like more often than it happens.
Like they give off like,
yeah,
they got it.
And also I think that you can give off that you got it with, with also, for example, you could be like, I don't know what's going to happen. Right. I'm not confident in this, but you sound confident. Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
Like being comfortable in the unknown.
Fake it till you make it?
I think there's fake it till you make it, which I feel like is like, I got this. I know everything. Mm-hmm. But then there's also, I have no idea what's going on. Like, I confidently do not know what's going to happen. Yeah. I do not know what's going on, which I don't think you see as much. But I feel like there's also, I feel like that's like something that would probably be, it would be more helpful for me to see somebody like expressing doubt confidently. Because like we're talking about like self-doubt today, right? And I think that would be helpful to just talk, because again, I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
I think we can all share times that we have and like how
I think
what
it's
to
also
do,
different
what to do.
What to do when you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah
I think also in different settings, because maybe you are more vulnerable to your inner circle or not, or at work. Or maybe at work you're like very, you could be less confident but you show more confidence. You know, so I think it really depends, because the work version of you might be different than like the personal version of you know?
Totally. For sure.
I think if anything, okay, kind of going back to the conversation that you were alluding to, this is why we need Thomas sometimes, because it's just like between the four of us, the people that say, how about all the time? You just don't, you're feeling this like, you have this feeling of self-doubt.
Yeah.
That's like me and him.
Yeah.
So it makes 50-50.
Do you like when you make a big decision or are faced with a decision and you make it, do you like question it already?
Tell us your thought process.
My thought process, especially when it comes to making an important decision or a big decision, I feel the need to always have to think about it. My God, what am I going to do? What should I do? Basically, those thoughts are always in my head. And I feel the need to keep talking about it.
Okay.
You know, just like verbalize it.
Yeah.
With yourself or with others? Or?
With others. Oh. With others.
Discuss.
Yeah, it's actually both. Like, it's also in my head, but also I feel like I need to like talk it out.
Yeah.
Whether or not we reach a decision at that time, it doesn't matter. But I feel like talking about it over and over just kind of makes it feel a little bit more bearable.
Yeah.
Like it's more manageable that way.
Would you say once you make, it takes you a while to come to a decision?
Yeah.
But one, and it could be like there's some doubt there.
Yeah.
Right. and you need reassurance. But once you make it, how much do you doubt that decision? Like, do you stick to it or you continue to?
It depends. Yeah. As soon as I make the decision, usually I feel pretty good about it. Like, okay, this is what I need to do.
Because you spent all this time.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's also like a quick mindset switch in your head that goes, oh, you know, what else are you going to do? You know, if you don't do this.
Like you've reached acceptance.
Yeah. Like what is the alternative? There's no better alternative to that decision that you know you're going to have to make, even though there's a mental obstacle that you have to overcome. Mm-hmm. But usually, you know, not usually, sometimes it's just like an easy switch that kind of turns on in your head and be like, okay, this is fine.
Okay. Two questions. Like, do you think the mental ops, what is maybe some examples of like that mental obstacle? Is it like, you know what's the right decision, but like you don't want to, but you know it's the right decision. Mm-hmm. Are there other types of obstacles? Like
maybe two examples. Like, okay, one example is when, let's say, you decide to buy a house. This is a major decision, right? And it's a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm.
Super expensive. And you're basically signing your life away.
Yes.
And you're in debt. So then
forever.
Exactly. At least for the next 30 years. So it is, when we were talking about that, it was also a conversation that I had with my family, but it just felt like the right decision at that point because of where we were, just like as a family, it's just,
and your needs.
Yeah. It's just regardless of whether the market is good for you to buy or not, it's just that's what you need to do.
Right.
But going from, oh my gosh, the market is awful, it's so expensive and there's no way we can afford it, to like, okay, it is what it is. That's what we need to do. It is a decision that makes the most logical sense, even though it is scary. Mm-hmm. So then it was like going from one side to the other.
Interesting. And then once you made it, and you bought it.
Yeah. It was pretty grueling, like the whole process of buying a house, because that was my first time buying a house. And also, we never actually saw the house before we got it, because it was in a different state. Yeah. So it's like we were walking blind, and then I'm trying to figure out everything as I go along. It wasn't as bad as I thought, right? So then I think after that I came to realize it's probably not as bad. And usually that's how it is.
But like, there during the process, because I went through something similar, well, mini similar, but actually a lot of it happened after the fact. But like, for example, as you're looking for the house and you're not, did you put in like, did you try multiple places? Like
I did. So yes. So I did make one trip to the state, right? And I did check out a few houses. So I went through that process, and we went through like inspection, blah, blah, blah.
So you put an offer in.
Yeah.
You got, okay. Was there times that you got beat at, like you didn't get that
Your
house?
Offer got rejected?
Yeah. I not rejected, but like got beaten.
Mm. Got beaten?
Yeah.
I haven't gone through that process
So the place you, so how many places did you try to buy before settling your current one?
So there's this one place that we put an offer in, and Thomas will laugh at me every time we talk about this, but I later realized that, first of all, that house had so many problems. So then, you know, in the end, it was like something was like, this is a deal breaker. We're not willing to deal with it, right? Yeah. But also the other thing that I sort of didn't see, when you see it on the map, like there's a cemetery not far from it. And I didn't see it. Right. I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And then had I seen it, I probably wouldn't have made
a deal breaker for you.
Yeah.
You're talking about the current place.
Not the current place. No, the other place, the place that didn't work out. Yeah. So that was my only experience before I finally like found
our place. So when you run into difficulties, do you feel like you doubt yourself, or you just you do?
Okay. Constantly, because I also felt like I didn't know what I was doing. You kind of hear, and also I try to learn as much as possible about the process, and our agent was so helpful. And so we were able to ask questions. So I think at least there's that. But whenever I make a certain decision, especially as important as that, I need somebody to like hold my hand.
So who was that person?
That was the agent at that
time.
Oh,
it wasn't sister?
No, my sister's, no.
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head on one of the big areas where I think everybody can have a lot of self-doubt. Mm. When you're doing a new thing for the first time.
For sure.
Time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be something so monumental like buying a house, but just like being put in a slightly new situation that you just feel like you're a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe for some people, they don't get that feeling very often because it's like, oh, it's similar. Because somebody could be like, oh, I bought on a car before, so it's kind of similar.
Yeah.
But maybe not everyone. Right. But for some people, it's just like literally meeting a brand new person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never met literally this person before, right? Every mm-hmm. single person is a new person.
Right.
But for some people, it's like, oh, this person's like five other people that I've met. They're all people. We can all relate, right? It's such a different, like, just perspective. One, I think it's two things, right? It's literal perspective. How do you approach the situation? If you approach the situation with, this is also new, this is what's new, and this is what's different, versus like, oh, where are the similarities that I can glom onto to be like, I got this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also just having the thought of like, how bad could it be? You know, I never really think of a new thing that way.
Mm. You know? Say that. What do you mean?
How bad could it be? Like, for example, okay,
you're
maybe,
always like, it's horrible.
Yeah, I'm always like, scared of the unknown.
You're like,
you know.
So, are you saying you go to like the worst possible case scenario
every time, the first
time?
Yes, exactly, exactly. Or just like, I just don't have the confidence to go or say, you know, it's gonna be fine. Mm. It doesn't come naturally. It has to be. It's like usually it comes after.
So question: when you go, you're saying you always go to the worst possible case situation, usually the first time. It's like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be this.
Usually, and I've gotten better.
But then,
though.
But then you're saying you don't think you could handle the worst possible case. Is that right? Because sometimes. When I, it's hard to
that
do that.
That is like
the
level two.
Because sometimes, like, I do that too. I'm like, man, this is gonna suck. But then if you really like push, okay, what's the worst possible case? And then you're like, actually, it's not that bad. You know, like worst case, like it would suck. Nobody would want that. But I think we would bounce back.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We would bounce back. Like you would be able to overcome it somehow.
Is it the first choice? No. But like.
Right.
You probably can bounce back.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Or like you can deal with it. You can push through it. However you deal with it, like it's going to be fine. Which is why after you go through the decision or whatever, you decide to do something and then you go through it, it's usually not as bad as you thought it was going to be. Mm. You know, like usually your fear doesn't really come true.
Yeah. Like, so after you bought the house, how much doubt, like, were you like, oh, we shouldn't have bought
it? No, it doesn't come immediately
after. Regret
did not immediately follow. Let's just put it that way.
Did it follow later?
It would pop up here and there.
I feel like the house example is unique because you need the house.
Yeah.
So no matter what, if... you won't regret the decision to buy it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's funny where self-doubt creeps in because it's like, oh, should I have gone with this location? Should I have gone with this? Like, does that come in? Or you're like,
Totally.
Because you're like, this is what it is. Like, we already bought it.
Like now.
Oh. But like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Even now?
Yeah.
But like, you own it. You live there for years. Like, what else is there to... doubt, right? Because it's
without
like,
going into too much details, right? But it's just, you know, now it's really about perspective and the perspective that you choose to have, because really it's a choice, right?
Okay.
We went from, and by we I mean our family, my immediate family, we went from like being so spread out, like literally 10,000 miles away,
right?
To now we're at least in the same country. Yes. We're somewhat closer, but we're not in the same place exactly.
Right.
Like we're not in the same city. So it's just however you want to, however you choose to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, at least they're much closer, but we're still spread out,
right.
You know? So on some days I'm like, oh my gosh, like I wish we could all just like live in the same city. So like we can help each, you have that support system.
Mm-hmm.
immediately in surrounding you.
Right. But circumstances are, like, you couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, there. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, some days I do think like that, and some other days, like, I'm okay with it.
But see, that's funny, because that doesn't mean you doubt the decision to buy a house or even that particular house, right? It's just more like, oh, I wish it was like this. But you're not like, man, should we have not chosen that state?
Yeah. Sometimes
really?
I do think
that. What do you mean? So like,
that's what she's saying.
What's the alternative?
Another state.
What, like
something
where?
Closer
or
now,
like
probably.
Either, yeah, or like either here or in California. At least like you reduce.
It's like in the middle.
You reduce your footprint.
But then you got to think back to why you chose that
in the
first place.
I know.
It was, right? It's like
yeah.
more area.
Yeah.
Like
I know.
Tax,
right.
blah, blah.
There's
blah,
a lot
blah.
Of good.
But humans
right.
have, you know, or we have
but like,
memory of a goldfish,
but you
so we forget.
Still doubt or you're like, no, we chose the right state at least.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like,
how strong
is it? It's not the most ideal situation, mm-hmm. but it's also not the worst. And you like, mm-hmm. you just.
So I think this brings up a good point though, because at some point, when there's crippling self-doubt, it leads to indecisiveness.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would argue the majority of the time, sometimes you just got to decide.
Yeah.
Like it's not worth is it the best possible perfect decision?
Right.
You could argue yeah. yourself all the way from one extreme to the yeah. other. A lot of the time it's like, unless there's a clear bad answer, just a lot of the times like pick one of them
yeah.
and then deal. And it will be honestly a learning experience no matter what.
Yeah.
But unless there's a clear one, yeah. I think like one clear example, obviously not all choices are this easy, but it's like, I think of like when you first get into college, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, everything is new. First everything, mm-hmm. first roommate, first new place, first place without your parents, blah, blah, blah. A billion classes. What do you decide
right.
to take?
Right.
What do you decide to major in? But frankly, when it's your first year, everything is fair game. Everything mm-hmm. will count towards, right, your graduating credits.
Right.
You need credits to graduate. It really doesn't almost, I'm going to say the word matter here. Could you pick a better, like, I don't know, like schedule or whatever? Probably, for example.
Yeah.
I took 18 credits my first semester.
Okay.
That's the most you could take.
Yeah.
I know people do this every semester. Great for you. It was overwhelming for me. I took the most that I could possibly take.
Mm-hmm. How many classes was that?
I think it was 4 to 5.
Okay.
And they were not related, because I took piano. I took sociology. I took political science.
Yeah.
I took calc. Two. It was not related.
This is your first semester.
The worst.
Was that a regret?
Ready? It was the worst GPA I've ever gotten in my whole life.
Yeah.
Do I? I mean, it was.
Were you self-doubting at that very moment?
No, I was not.
Okay.
I think I got a really big dose of reality. I'm like, man, this is really hard.
This is
hard.
I
think I was just like, let's not stack the deck so full.
Yeah.
And then I got over, because I think when you're there's some of that is like a little bit of ego, right?
Mm-hmm,
as in like, look at me, I can do this. Yeah. But then it's like, no. Next semester I think I took like maybe 14, 12 is the minimum, right?
12, that's three classes.
Yeah, three classes.
Yeah.
I think I took 12.
and then
I was like, okay, we need to bring the GPA up, literally.
Yeah.
And I could see myself being like, oh, that's so embarrassing to like take less credits and blah, blah, blah. But I was like, nah. Like, and so I think sometimes it's just choosing a decision, making one. Mm. A lot of the times it will go somewhere. I think that that's difficult if you can't see, like, what if I make the wrong decision and it puts me further back?
Yeah.
That I think is difficult to grapple with, because maybe some people are like, right, oh, should I move back home?
Because
it feels like, oh, I'm regressing.
Right.
But maybe you save a ton of money, and that's actually a
for
progress
sure.
forward,
for
you
sure.
know? And a lot of that, I think, is like mental pressure we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
But if you feel that way, I could see that's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if for me, it's, I guess, like, I'm always the glass,
half full. Yeah.
Because I always feel like if I make the wrong choice, which has happened a lot of times, I will always learn from it and it will help me in the future. I'm always like, whatever decision I choose to make, it's the decision. It's the right one. Cause if it has negative consequences, it's still the right one because it'll help me in the future.
Another way to look at it too is like, let's say you do make the wrong, the wrong quote unquote decision. It's also a opportunity to like be able to pivot really quickly on your feet. You're like, crap, let me pivot, because you could be the best planner in the world. You could anticipate all, you know, calculate literally the probability. Life just happens. Life just doesn't work.
I think
work
I have
like
this
that.
Weird gene where, because the thing is, in college, I would say most of college was such a failure. If you just look at, if you just looked at me in college, right? Like, not only did I not overachieve, I spread myself incredibly thin across different majors. Because I wanted
to
I wanted to learn other things, but I didn't do the research to understand that, well, I'm just paying money for this because I don't have enough to graduate with a degree. But I basically, like, I was targeting a theater degree, but I took a bunch of music, art, video classes, and I almost had enough for a minor.
But I
had a bunch of them though. So I'm like, that's definitely 100% bad decision, 100%. But I never self-doubted myself, which is weird, because I was like, but that's the decision I made. Like, how can I doubt myself? I made that decision. And then, but looking back, I'm like, horrible decision.
You would do something differently.
Oh, 1,000%. Like, horrible decision.
But see, I don't think you can have the foresight is 2020? Yeah. Hindsight is 2020. Now, I think the best, if you ever think you made a bad decision, just the way I think I look at it is like, now you know better going forward. Just use it going forward. What's the point in like shaming yourself from the past?
Well, I guess it's good because I don't shame myself and I don't, I only
He's
can.
Like, no, I never shame
myself. Yeah, it's really weird. I would say the closest to ever self-doubt is probably recently, because most of the time, like if I make a choice, I'm like, oh, if it's not, like for example, if I had, like looking for apartments, right? Mm. If I go look for an apartment and I don't get it, I'm like, okay, that's just not meant to be. So I'm just going to keep looking for a different apartment or going to applying for different colleges or different jobs. So I've never been like, oh, I didn't get that job. Am I doing something wrong? Am I doing the right thing? Mm. I'm just like, if that's the thing I want to do, I keep doing it. And if I don't succeed, I will pivot.
What if it's like something that you really, really want to get?
Like I've never wanted something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I've never had like a job that I wanted so bad, or a thing or a promotion, like ever, even now. Like even real estate, like I just fell into real estate, you know, or like anything, like acting, like we were talking about acting before. Yeah. I just know what it is like, I know what I want and I go after it, but I don't want it so bad that if I don't get it, it will like make me doubt myself or I feel bad.
That's also a good, I feel like that's a good insight too, to be like, to have the recognition that the outcome of what you're going for, it could go get like what you want or wait. It's a 50-50. It's a 50-50.
Except one time in college, I did really want to get an RA position. But that was because, no, but it's like I could care less about the RA position. The response of it. It's free housing. So, Oh, okay. No. So thinking back, no, I really wanted that. And I got it.
You did.
I was like, yay, free housing.
Yes.
And I did the job so poorly that... Oh, man. Yeah, I was really bad because I didn't enforce any of the rules. So bad, good. Like residents loved me.
Yeah.
Bad because they were like, bro, like, you know, they're not supposed to be doing that.
I'm
like, you know, or and also
it's not my job, except it is your job to enforce the rules.
I mean, really, are they really hurting anybody? You know what I'm saying? But I really wanted that job because I didn't want to pay for housing or meals. It's free housing. It's free room and board.
I know.
It's so much money because my tuition was already super so high.
Expensive. Yeah.
And then on top of that, I was like, dang. And my parents weren't going to pay for it. And I didn't want to take out a loan.
But Mia, so are you saying like when you really want something and then you're doubting if you can get it, like that self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So then like, how do people deal with that, right? You're like, what if I do all this and it ends up in nothing?
Yeah.
Like it's all for nothing?
I mean, that's common.
That's
people
common.
People, it's not doubting the this. It's not doubting the decision. It's doubting if whether or not you're good enough.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of deep there.
Yeah. I mean,
you're good enough.
For sure.
You
I would
good
say,
enough.
Yeah, I didn't have that doubt either because like, I think it's like,
fearless,
cause the thing is if
one.
I don't get it, like I don't like, for example, even in romance, like if I ask a girl out and I don't get her, if I don't get a yes to go out with me, I don't care. Like it might hurt me, but I'm not going to doubt my abilities to get a date or whether or not I went after her. Okay. Any decision, cause I'm always like reactionary even to this day. Right. Like if I don't like, even right now, like a lot of my personal life is up in the air. So it's like the way I live my life is like process of elimination. If I go after it and it's a door closed, I'm just going to go to the next door.
Mm-hmm.
And if 20 doors close, then the
next
21st
door.
One,
you're
right?
Just,
I'm just going to go, boom, boom, boom. But like, I will assess though. Like there's certain, like just
like
college, right?
20
like,
doors have slammed in my face.
Like,
is there something wrong with my approach?
Something wrong with my approach. And in the future, obviously, I want to save time, and also I don't want to waste time or money.
Yeah, that's smart. Because
right?
I think that's helpful because that's probably the most efficient way that you could do it. And also it sounds like even like the least self-harm way.
Yeah.
Because you kind of like it rolls off your back
right.
a little bit.
Because if I don't have the money to do it, I won't do it. If I have the money to do it, I'll do it.
And
you know?
I think that that's where it's like, Maybe I'm trying to think of like how to like implement that because it sounds like maybe it'd be helpful to maybe have like different people that you can go to so that if like one door closes in your face, you're like, but I know that I am quote unquote good enough because of all these other experiences that I've had. Because so like in the past episode that we've talked about, I feel like something that happened to me in school that was very helpful. Remember, so I also applied to be an RA. Okay, everyone.
And we did talk about this really.
I didn't get it.
But I actually think that was very helpful for myself because you would think that rejection is probably one of the most makes you self doubt a lot.
Yeah.
Like, man, is really literally is like, none of these people want me.
Yeah.
And like, man, that can really, if 20 doors close in somebody's face, a lot of people would be like, whoa, something's wrong with me. But if, you know, to me, that door closing in my face actually was such, I was like, this is such a ridiculous,
right.
It was so like, I knew that I was.
You knew you were qualified.
But were you able to realize that immediately?
I was for that one.
Okay.
By the way, so context for that, I had already been rejected from like four other things prior to that.
Uh-huh.
And so I actually think that one helped me to solidify. It actually gave me more confidence because I was like, oh, I actually shouldn't feel so bad about the other four.
Yeah.
Because it's not
personal. You can't
control.
A lot of it is
not personal.
Yeah,
should
exactly.
you work to improve? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think that helps with self.
Yeah.
That helps with my self-doubt because I was like, oh, keep going.
Yeah.
Because like you could be literally like, honestly, like perfect on paper.
That's right.
But
and
you
not get
still
it.
Don't get it.
You know
what's
funny?
It's not about you.
I definitely went for stretches knowing I wouldn't get it. Not stretches like a period of time, like a reach. I went for reach things that I knew I wouldn't get, but I still went for them anyways.
And
I didn't get them. But I was like, well, at least I tried.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, for example, I like schools, positions. Like, I had no experience. And when I was like coming out of college, I would apply for the positions I wanted. I had no qualifications. And of course I didn't get them. I didn't even get an interview. But I was like, that's fine. I tried.
Yeah.
Like,
but occasionally you might. You know what I mean?
In my case, I didn't, but it was okay. No, but I knew that.
So what is it? Like, what's the opposite of a stretch? Just like a reach? Because sometimes
the stretch is the reach. You mean like,
low-hanging fruit?
Low-hanging fruit,
Because occasionally
like what's
maybe,
in front of you.
Yeah. Occasionally, maybe just getting a low-hanging fruit can be helpful.
Yeah.
To boost your self-confidence.
Just to be like, okay, I know how to do this. And be like, yeah, you do know how to do this. Because I think something that causes me self-doubt is like being I think I'm easily intimidated.
Uh-huh. Okay.
As in like if somebody comes in really self-confident, I'm like, oh, this person knows what they're talking about. Blah, blah, blah. And I think that's I'm trying to like I'm going to use the word fix that. I'm trying to fix that because I'm realizing, oh, these people literally just sound confident. I didn't
they're
realize.
They're faking it.
They're totally
They have
faking
tons of self-doubt.
So funny. They're I think also it could be cultural.
Yes.
You know,
I
it's like
that
a, also a cultural
too.
Thing.
I think it's a cultural sure. thing. I think it's a personality thing.
For sure.
I think some people are like, regardless if they're 10% confident or 90% confident, they sound the same.
Yeah.
They sound exactly
and
the same.
Some people are just very good with words. And this is something that I realized when I was in school still. Coming from also from like Indonesia, from Asia to like the States, and like I'm just looking at the people or my friends, my peers who grew up in the States, and for some reason they're just like very good at expressing themselves. They're very good at articulating their thoughts and whatever. So then also they're not shy about speaking in class. It took me so long to be comfortable and like speaking in like a public setting.
Yeah.
Even in like in a class or in a meeting and things like that. So it's not something, it's something that I had to work on, you know, and it didn't, because I didn't really, in Indonesia, you're not encouraged to speak in your class, for example. You're just like supposed to like sit there and then listen to the teacher.
And so, now you're like, here's the presentation.
But also, it was just also, you know, you automatically think that people who sound confident, they know what they're doing, even though that's always
definitely
the case.
A myth.
It's
definitely
such a myth. I didn't. I think I always kind of knew that. But then I think the deeper insight that I got was, oh, the way that I come across to other people, right? Because if everybody else is kind of doing it, but then you, because I, if I'm not like I think 80% and above confident in something, I will act a little bit more reserved.
Okay.
It's kind of like when you're playing poker and you play differently. People can tell. And
if you have good cards.
Exactly. So that's the biggest
insight.
They can
read you.
They can read you a little bit better. So that's the insight, because then, right, like the poker, if you're playing poker, you could be like, I'm going to call, right? Immediate. You get, you kind of like get
I'm
a
calling
target.
Your bluff.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I didn't realize sometimes you send an unintended signal about yourself. It's not about the other people playing at the table.
Oh my gosh.
You know what
this
I mean?
Reminds me of that game we played the other night.
Which one?
What was that game called?
A bluffing game? Did we play a bluffing
not a,
game?
Not what? Kind of like, not a bluffing game, but kind of like a mafia game. Remember?
We
had
a
role.
Playing. Wait, what?
What's that game called?
I don't know.
Like we're we okay we
there.
Okay we played.
No, you were there. Last
no,
time,
no, no, no.
Werewolf?
Okay.
The werewolf.
No. It's like Codenames? Mysterium. Mysterium.
Is that what it's called?
I wasn't there.
You were
there.
There
was there was a saboteur.
Yeah, remember
guys.
We were all accusing Dan of being the saboteur.
Yes.
And I was like, guys, I'm telling you right now, I am not the saboteur.
Okay, yes.
And
Quo
was like,
the game.
You're the saboteur.
You were sus. As heck, was he not?
And
he was
like,
totally because also you were trying to direct. You were trying to direct
it was the one
public
with the gates.
Opinion.
It was the one with the gates. I forgot what it was called.
I guess it's called Mysterium.
No,
I never know what it's called.
Because in the past, I was very convincing. Because
but also
history
just like
says,
this is why our personalities are so different. Because I can relate to what you were saying. Like if I if I'm confident, like I know that I'm not the saboteur, like I'll act differently, you know, versus when I'm on the saboteur. I can't really
exactly. So I don't think it's necessarily the learning for me wasn't like change your personality.
Yeah.
It's just know the vibe. For me, it wasn't as much like, oh, these people are more confident, less confident, like whatever, be like them.
Yeah.
That wasn't the learning. The learning was like, oh, learn how to read how others read you.
Right.
And so I think that was helpful for me. Because it helps me just notice when I was self-doubting myself.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Like, so Thomas is not here, but Mia, you're saying you and Thomas are similar in that whenever you make a decision or are leading to it, there's always some sort of self-doubt and even afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Both in, did I make the right decision or am I good enough to accomplish something?
Mm-hmm.
And I think more people I meet are like you guys. Like, I think in some ways my wife is like that where she's like second guessing herself all the time, and I have to like reassure her, like, so. And I realized like her and I, we have the same like spiritual foundation, but I think why I can just have things roll off and just react is I'm really just in tune to my own reasoning of, I always go back whenever I make a decision, I go, why did I make that? It's the why. So if I can justify the why, then whatever happens, good or bad, it will always be good for me. So I'm not worried about the outcome. Because if it's bad, I'll adjust and learn. Because as long as I look and I say, was I in the right place to make, did I, for the right reasons? And then if it's a no, I'm still like, okay,
I learned
because
learned something about yourself, right?
Because it was selfish. So the next time, and bad things happened.
Yeah.
And the next time, and this is like kind of what we were discussing. Like, I feel like, and we might use this example in the future, but this is like a great example of when sports teams talk about trusting the process. And I know this will come up again, because if I trust my own process, the process of making the right decision, like making the right, having the right intentions, it doesn't matter what transpires, right? Because the universe will make, I cannot control that. You know, whether I get a job or not get a job, I can't control that, you know? So I'm like, I'm just like very clear on why I made those decisions.
It's certainly like, it's hard to get there when it's like frustrating, right? In the moment and stuff. But like, I think these old, trusting the process, like having those foundational things there. I feel like that's the secret sauce.
Exactly.
Also, to use another, is this another sports
thing? Yeah, let's do it. Do another one.
You, something about shooting the shot. You don't
make... You miss every shot you don't take.
Yes. You don't take. Like seizing the opportunity. Like you still have to try it. Like if you...
You don't make any shots.
If you have too much self-doubt, you'll never even attempt to do that
and,
thing.
Oh, also, okay. Also, your first shot's going to suck. Your first 10 shots... I think 100%. That's... A lot of it is ego. I think like So what I recently went to like a ceramic studio and spent like a lot, like went and like made things. And I was so intimidated the first like day because I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't done this in so long. Also, your first pieces, they're so ugly. And it's also, there's something different about physical things you make and just like, you know, something you do on the computer. Physically, you see it and it looks and you can feel that it's ugly. And I was like, okay, I just need to make ugly things and throw them away. and it's also kind of wasteful. Like the artistic process is a little bit, it feels not, it feels wasteful because you're like, all of this is ugly. Nobody can see this.
Like
nobody
the failed product.
The failed product. But you won't get better. Right? You won't get better. So it's like that I think people, right, they're like, but at least if I don't make any shots, I don't fail at all.
Right.
But then it's like you don't, it's like that cycle, right? It's like, oh, if I don't make any shots, I won't make any. But if I make shots, they'll be bad. Oh, but then if I don't make it, you know, it's like this cycle. It's
like
that
you won't
get
be disappointed, which is true. But also there's like, then you don't do anything.
Then you're just stuck in like.
You're just stuck there. So like.
Neutral.
Make the ugly shots. Make the ugly pots.
For sure. Fail a bunch of classes in college and know that that is not what you should do.
And then you know? Have people around you that can like like catch you and you know, sustain you and be like, no, you are good at things. Like focus on this instead of like the spiral.
That's right.
All right. I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you guys for listening. Let us know if you liked it. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.